Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast. My name is Scroobius Pip, and actually, often after we record these, I record a separate disclaimer, but I'm going to get the disclaimer in now. This is one of our regular drunk casts where we get drunk and discuss stuff. It often gets offensive and sometimes aggressive, sometimes sexy. So be warned for the content. We're brought to you, as ever, by Speech Development Records. If you head over to speechdevelopmentrecords.com, you can order the brand new upcoming album from POS. If you're not sure if you fancy it, go on YouTube and type POS Faded, and you'll hear the current single off that with Bon Iver. It's fantastic. You're going to love it. So pre-order that now. You can buy all sorts of merch there. We'll talk about that actually in a minute. But for now, let's hit the theme tune. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. Right, here we are. I am joined, as ever, on the Drunk Cast by two now experienced podcasters, Stu Gokwon Whiffin, and Mr. Christopher Glasson, who is to podcast in what Katie Price is to literature. In that he's now officially recorded more podcasts than he's ever listened to. How you doing, guys?
Good, mate.
Yeah, really good.
You're experienced podcasters now. This is
exciting. We've got a ton in the can.
How many have you recorded now? At least six, isn't it?
Six or seven. Yeah, six or seven, I think.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Unbelievable, yeah.
And how's it all been? Obviously, if anyone hasn't listened, it's Hardcore Listing, which launched and stormed straight to number four
in
your category in the iTunes chart.
No
biggie.
Yeah.
Straight into number four.
It's been absolutely insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, I'd pre-warned you. Obviously, it's on the Distraction Pieces Network, but I'd kind of said, look, the thing with podcasts is it's a slow build. You need to build up a back catalogue and so on and so forth. And then you've dropped the first one and it's gone nuts.
Yeah, it was really good.
You must have had a massive guest, I guess.
Before the guest, I think it was the little pilot we did. Everyone went
just
crazy.
Me and you,
for.
We were the best ones.
I think we were surprised at that with the pilot. We didn't think we'd get that reaction off it. And then obviously, lucky that our first guest is a big deal,
but
that's in his words.
The reaction has been great though, and as soon as obviously I'd been pushing you guys to do a podcast for a while, but came up with what it would be, and it was a top five based podcast, which has got everyone instantly excited. Like that's what's been nice for me to see is not only have they enjoyed the episode that I'm on, but they're excited about episodes to come, excited to suggest top fives for you to do, excited to give their own top fives. And it's it's dope because it's one of those, I was saying to Stu about this, each episode has got two selling points. You've got the guest, if you're a fan of Scroobius Pip.
I thought you could say me and Chris.
No, not you two. If you're a fan of Scroobius Pip, then you might want to listen. But then also, even if you're not a fan of Scroobius Pip, which seems weird, but
on the remote chance they're not a fan.
Top five was of US TV dramas. So again, if you're just into TV dramas and TV shows, then there's reasons on each one to jump in on.
The thinking behind it as well was, do you know what, every time I've gone on holiday or something like that, I've always gone and bought some magazines like everyone does for the flights and for when you're out, wherever you are. And I always gravitate to the ones that are like all-time top 100 singles. Because I love a list. And it was like, okay.
Just looking at the list and hearing the little story, the paragraph about the reason
it's in
there.
It's quite an easy thing to digest, yet when we spoke about how we was going to put it together, it was like, well, let's get them, talking about their lists, and then as we work our way through the list, we'll talk about them kind of growing up and their lives. It was quite nerve-wracking at first. I think the first time we'd done with you, Pip, was just a bit strange that we weren't driving it, was we? We was driving it.
Yeah.
Normally we're sitting here and just getting trashed waiting for you know, letting Pip sort of hold everything all together. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it was like me and you looking at each other, thinking, fuck, we better do some research, as they call
it. Yeah, that's what it is, mate, yeah. which is cool, because you'd think that actually some of my favourites that we've recorded so far, the ones where I didn't know really any of the sort of things that the guest had picked.
Mm.
So you sort of like think, fuck, I'm going to be out of my depth here.
Yeah.
When in actual fact, it's been really inspirational, because not only do we hear why, you know, what they are, we hear a lot about why.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of like musicians on. It really does paint a picture of, well, not just musicians, actors as well. It helps you get a good idea of their background and how they got to where they did.
Yeah.
So it's kind of inspirational, and it gives you a bunch of stuff to sort of like, you know, go and listen to.
And talk about the industry, and more so with the musical guests that have spoke about the changes in the industry and what it's like being a musician now, which is really good. I mean, I don't think it's a big spoiler for us to say some of the guests that we've got coming up.
I was going to say, the two things I was going to say, I mean, number one, the exciting part is it's great that you guys are doing your research and that and preparing yourselves, because, you know, I've told people you're all right, so I'm glad you're being professional about it. But the good part is that the people making the list, because they get to pick what their top five is of, they're going to be excited about it regardless. So even if you are clueless on the topic, you're going to have someone enthusiastically. I mean, we have a lot of people on this say, look, you always end up talking about MMA. I'm not into it, but I still enjoy the enthusiasm with which you talk about it. And that's a similar thing. I'm excited about the guests you've got, where I don't know anything about the subject they've chosen, because it's like, well, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
As Chris's phone has said, professional podcast.
Professional podcast.
But so tell me the guests you've got, and then tell me what top fives, but not telling me who's chosen what. Is that all right? Just because for that mystery.
Do you think there'll be some spoilers there?
There might be, but it's all right, isn't it?
Yeah. It doesn't matter, does it?
Doesn't matter.
Well, we've got, we've had Block Party. Russell come over.
Yeah, Russell,
I love that a lot of them are coming here into your shed.
It's brilliant. It's so brilliant.
I hooked you guys up with Ed Skrein, who I'm a fan of. He's a mate, but he is a massive film star and was in Deadpool, one of the biggest films of recent
years.
Game of Thrones. And the thought of him coming to your shed in Grey's
was brilliant.
It slayed me. I was really in heaven just thinking of that.
He just rocked up on his motorbike, and straight away my kids just come running down and was just like... And it was... He was
they were starstruck.
And he was so sweet, because my eldest wants to be an actress and that, and he was straight away like, you know, this is what you got to do, and you got to focus on this, he was so cool, wasn't he?
He's lovely. He loved the whiffing as well.
Yeah.
Ed was like, yeah, I've got to get me one of these. Yeah.
He's great. I went out the other day, I hung out with him and his boy. Mm. And again, it was like we're over the park, and you're seeing that. I like hanging out with people in natural situations rather than, oh, we're having a meeting and we're both music industry people or both film industry people. It was great just seeing kids coming and playing and not knowing who he is, because they're kids. Who gives a damn? And just having a laugh and a mess about, I realised that's the beauty of podcasts and top fives is realising that everyone's just a human who's excited about stuff. Mm. So I'm like, I just want to really talk about comics, or I want to really talk about this or that. It's dope.
Yeah, you're surprised by people's choices sometimes, and that's really good. And like we did with your one, the more specific, the better.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And we've been lucky, because everyone has drilled down. No one's really gone, I'm in top five albums.
No.
You know, people have really locked it down and gone into sub-genres, which has meant that they've really thought about it. So what they've come up with, they're really passionate about, so it makes for, you know, I hope a good podcast.
I think the hardest thing has been to try and curtail conversation.
Mm.
Yeah,
because we don't want this to be something where it's just punchy. Like, what's your number five?
Yeah,
you give a bold statement and a paragraph summarizes it, and then we move on to the next one. We wanted it to be a conversation, but because you want it a conversation, it goes in all sorts of directions, just like it would. And because of the sorts of guests we got on, you just want to know more.
We had someone on yesterday. I won't say which one it was. Has been involved in music and such. Mm-hmm. And just turns out in conversation that just used to hang out around John Lydon's flat.
Yeah,
amazing.
And then that obviously sparks a big kind of conversation about.
And that's what's kind of cool about having that structure is it puts that's what their focus is. Mm. So then the interview, when going off topic, can go off from what the normal, I'm in an interview, here's what I always talk about things. You are also interviewing them, but it's around, because there's top fives to punctuate the interview, you can get these little personal bits in there as well.
That's good. I've got to give a shout out to Acast, actually, because they've been really good at
pushing us,
and it's kind of easy. It's been easy to like upload it and all that other jazz, isn't it? Like the podcast.
Well, it wasn't easy.
Not for you, mate. But you don't know how to turn on your bloody phone.
Well, I've done all the legwork, you prick, and then with the help from Joel from Acast, who I must have rung about 20 times that I tried to upload the first one.
I love it.
And you've come in and took the glory.
I ran across the finish line.
When you're up and running and had a few more episodes out, how comfortable or uncomfortable do you feel about adverts on there? Because adverts are a key part of it. Mm. And I obviously do my own reads at the beginning and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken before about on Chris Jericho's podcast, people have accused me of dissing him for it. It's not. I love Chris. He's been on mine. I've been on his. Mm. But my favourite thing on his podcast is he'll record the interview, obviously, in one place, and he'll record the adverts separately. But he'll try and pretend it was all at once. So the advert will literally be going, that's amazing, Chris.
No way.
And I want to talk to you later about how things went on Saturday night. But before we get to that, I need to tell you about my sponsor. And just go in and that look, it always stands out so much. But I love it for that. I mentioned it before and people thought I was having a go. But I was like, no, it's fucking genius. Because he'll have two or three breaks in each episode. We're all, that's great. Also, while we're here, I've got to tell the guys about DDP Yoga. and it's just brilliant. But, how do you guys feel about potentially recording your own adverts and stuff like that?
I'm totally cool with it.
Because you've got kind of control. That's the thing with Acos. I was chatting, I've recorded a podcast earlier today with Huey Morgan from the Fun Loving Criminals, and he's about to do a podcast with Acos. I don't know if that's announced yet, but if it is, breaking news. And the thing he was saying, the thing that he liked was he said to him, look, I'm really picky about who I work with sponsor-wise. And they were like, yeah, cool. There kind of wasn't any, well, we need to get this many in each week and this and that. So you can have as many or as few. And you can
sort of like tailor them.
Yeah.
Because I've had a long history of hating a lot of different sorts of advertisements. So that the way we can do this is a lot better.
What I like about the setup that you guys have is you can have sponsor reads in there that add to the podcast in that if you because me and Chris were discussing say you pick who sponsors a few podcasts, or I've had Odeon Cinemas as sponsor mine before. If you're sponsored by Odeon, then you can give your top five films out at the moment in a really short bit. Here's five I recommend, or Netflix, my top five shows on Netflix.
Top five shows that'd be a lot of fun.
Or I've had I've been sponsored a lot by Elisa Mattresses, Craig's top five sexual positions on mattresses. Not including bin bags or
we spoke about Netflix yesterday, didn't we? Saying we could do top five Netflix shows, but we wanted to be more specific, and we said we'd full frontal nudity, didn't we?
you said actually he was well into
again,
that.
It's what I kind
top
of...
five Netflix where you're guaranteed to see Minge, I think is what you said to me.
But yeah, I genuinely think you've got that rare position where it can be actually interesting. And I'm conscious of trying to make the sponsor reads on mine interesting and relevant, but equally, I know they are dropping in repeatedly, so people who listen all the time, hearing the same thing sometimes, want to skip through. But I like the fact that you can have like sponsors in there that I'll be like, oh, I want to hear this, top five this, top five that.
That's brilliant.
It's a fun way to do it. Because again, everyone, I've had people complain in the past that, oh, you had three adverts on this week. It's like, number one, the podcast is free, so shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Number two, you can skip through them, dude. Yeah. It's not a big deal. Like, there's some. I said the Jericho ones and the Stone Cold Steve Austin ones, I listen to, and the Fighter and the Kid.
Yeah,
but there's some podcasts I listen to that I skip them every time. Mm. But I like those ones because they make it funny and make it interesting. Yeah, so I'm fine with it.
Great at that.
They're amazing at it. So it's like it's part of the show, and that's
I'll look forward to doing them.
Yeah,
it's finding the way that makes it balance and work.
Who else we got?
You've mentioned Ed Skrine, and you've mentioned Justin from Block Party.
Russell.
And then
Justin from Elastica.
Yeah, so we're going to put Elastica one out on Record Store Day.
Yeah.
Because Elastica are reissuing their debut album, which I believe is remastered and with some studio outtakes.
Yep.
And or some rarities or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
That won't be coming out on our usual podcast day, potentially, then.
No, we put ours out early as of every Monday.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
We went to Brighton and met up with Justin.
Yeah, it was our first journey to the called one, wasn't it? And that was pretty cool.
And this was great. He's a lovely fella. And you find out loads about, aside from his list, like just the experiences of Britpop and being...
It's the real story of Britpop.
It's mental.
Like how they all sort of come up.
And it was so, like, inbred, wasn't it? Like, you know, at one point he was living with Steve Mackey from Pulp, and then he was living with... And it was like... And it was, just sounded like it was just one big Britpop party and gang. It was really interesting. Yeah. And it really paints a fun picture of it all as well.
Quite inspirational for drummers as well. Talking about how he got into it and how he... come up, it's like, it's there for you. You just got to want it, you know?
Yeah. And
it feels like I'm shoehorning my own podcast in now, but I recorded one the other day that I was discussing with Gemma Carney, and it's going to come out after this. And on that, it was mad because I met Gemma because she used to host and do art direction for a lot of the gigs I did early on. And just seeing that we were going, so it was me and sometimes me and Ollie and sometimes me and Dan and Kate Nash and Adele. And Paloma Faith and Jack Pignatti and all of these that you now think of, wow, they've all gone off in such different directions. And it was mad to sit down with someone from back then and go, it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's mad that was all. And Laura Dockrell was doing spoken word, and she's now had like 4 huge best-selling kids books, and all these people that were in that little circle. And Gemma Carney herself has been on Radio 1 or One Extra for like 10 years now. And it's just mad how those circles can be a case of, right, there's just a load of people who are just excited about stuff and make that all push forward.
That's kind of, you know, a lot of our guests and that, you know, have been people that we've known from years ago as well.
Yeah.
That we've done club nights with and things like that. And we had recorded a great one with S Express, with Mark Moore, who he's just a lovely, lovely fella and just... Fucking, he knows his music and he knows his film, and he's a smart fella and fascinating. I really enjoyed doing that.
Is he doing our next Lizards tonight?
May. He was explaining that he took some time out from DJing, and I won't sort of say what he's up to. I'll go and check that on the podcast. Yeah. But he said he's gonna. Do one show and that'll be for us.
I'm not meaning for this whole start of this podcast to be an advert for your podcast.
But we're kind of hoping that it is.
But I'm excited as well.
That's what we agreed to.
It's crazy that I've looked at the list of guests you've got, and I said there's amazing people in there, and you've got some people lined up that are equally amazing. Yet one of the ones I'm looking forward to most is with someone that's not known, and it's the guy from Love Beer who everyone will know from the Drunk Cast because they hooked up your taps and everything in here, and you were just choosing, was it a top 5 bar snacks and top 5, I know I'm giving it away there, but come on, it's related.
Top 5 micro breweries in London. He frowns on the word craft beer because of the hipster connection. He bought around a selection of different beers from different breweries and kind of tells you all about craft beer and the stories behind it and the different breweries in London and how it's, how all the people that are putting them together are just seem like it's a real little community, isn't it? Like everyone helps each other out.
Yeah, it's not like competitive in the slightest.
And he's a crazy hippie, isn't he? That was brought up on a farm in the middle of nowhere. He was affectionately known at school as Woody Smoke Smelling Boy.
She's confused that because I started calling him something like that.
After he sort of said it and looked a little bit sort of. Like it had triggered something from his youth. You then kept calling him in.
So again, it's good that there's some of the usual debauchery of mess in there as well.
Yeah,
and there'll be plenty of obviously.
I think there might have even been a Craig story in that one.
There was a bad one.
Oh, well, it's a Craig's mate story, actually.
I'll write really distancing yourself from that one, then.
I haven't even told Craig's mate about that one yet.
And what we will do plenty of is just me and you.
Again, the way Stu just looked at me in the eyes.
The thing that I was pleased with was seeing you and both of you getting a load of people interacting with you saying, do your top five these, do your top five that. Yeah. And that's stuff that you can do on just episodes with just the two of you. Just come and have a drink and go, we're going through the audience submitted ones.
Yeah.
Here's a load
of
them.
That was a lot of fun. I would say that one was a little bit, because we had a couple of drinks and that, you know, that one got
that's going to be the one that comes out the second week, which will be out by the time this goes up.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
if you want to catch us at our
worst,
then I would definitely go and check that out. That'd be a two-part, I would have thought, because it spiraled. We got very, very both woke up with anxiety the next morning.
Anyway. That's because we woke up together.
Let's stop talking about your shitty podcast.
One last thing.
Fucking hell.
Just want to thank everyone for downloading it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, thank you so much.
Getting us, you know, in the fucking top 10. We never thought that would happen. And thanks,
number really four cool. in the charts.
Number five,
The thing that was good for us two, more than Chris, because we're a big fan of it, was seeing your podcast right next to Joe Rogan's in the chart. And again, that's not to say it's had... It's the UK chart, so it's not to say you've got the 10 million downloads he gets in America, but still, to be next to one of the ones that got you into podcasts,
absolutely.
Really. It's one of the ones that kind of opened you up to it, and me, so that was ace to see that.
In many ways, that makes us better than him, doesn't it?
Yeah,
so, definitely. You
know,
that's how I...
Definitely.
100% better. Let's talk about the last drunk cast, because we've not done one for a while.
I can't remember the last one.
The last one was the celebrity drunk
celebrity
cast
drunk
with Ramesh
cast.
And Brett.
That was the last one.
One we did.
That was crazy. That and was fun.
I've
was
talked a... about it on the podcast since. I'm not sure. Did we talk about it when we did the UFC one? With Sam. With Sam Marshall.
Not a great
shout
deal,
out to Sam Marshall. I adored it. I adored the like, you know, when you've got two separate groups of mates and then you put them together and you have to watch them interact.
Yeah.
That was the fun for me, because I got to watch them interact whilst getting hammered. And just there was a point where Ramesh is a professional comedian, is used to being on panel shows, going in all guns blazing, and he would go in all guns blazing against Chris or against you, and you've only just met the guy and you're new to this, and you'd kind of politely be, yep. Okay, like, whereas normally if one of us gives a dig, we give back.
Yeah.
Like, Ramesh was just getting at the start, was just getting to go full guns, and you took...
It took me a while to get used to
that. He did not fuck around, did he? He was
He was making me piss myself. But the funny thing was, actually, when...
and by the time we warmed up...
Invisible dog. And
When
he did that, though, when he went in, he did sort of put his hand on my shoulder as if to go... Strapping, I'm not actually trying to fucking beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
But even still, I was a little bit like, whoa. And it took like an episode. And you did this on purpose, because he totally did it so that we literally show up and start recording. There was no... Yeah.
We've never met either
of them. There's no get to know each other and all that. But that's kind of... I do that with the podcast in general. I try not to... Even with these, we've kind of said before, so that we don't... Because when you see someone for the first time, you get all your excitement out in that first bit.
And then
that can mean you're going into a podcast a bit flat.
Yeah.
And it's
good
to have that kind of, even if it's a nervous tension, it's kind of good to have that there. Yeah. We were doing the gift giving and all this kind of thing. But
that was definitely exciting. And I must say,
I loved it.
I probably think that was my favourite one looking back.
Yeah.
The last episode, it just descends into utter chaos. There's just Ramesh is just shouting at everyone. So am I. You're trying to keep control.
I learned a bit from Brett on that one. Yeah. And in fact, he came along when I was in LA recently. I took him along. I went on the Doug Loves Movies podcast, which are you and me, Chris, are big fans of.
Cool.
And I've only just realised that I took on a bit of a Brett role on that, because the other guy, or one of the other guys on the panel, was the director of Kong Skull Island.
Getcha.
So he's just been doing that for 6 months. So he was hugely excited and hugely hyped and very up.
Yeah.
And I just kind of sat back, and then when I had a really strong line, I'd come in with it. So it just felt like every line I had, and Brett was the master of that on this drunk cast.
He'd just sit back, he knew that
Ramesh will be going nuts, and you'll be saying stuff, and we'll be laughing, I'll be jumping, and Brett will just come in with one line that will just slay it all. But the group message I have with Ramesh and Brett, so the famous friends group message, was days of Ramesh just furious at Brett for cheating, because he didn't know that in between each episode Brett was going and drinking a pint of water and taking his time, whereas Ramesh drunk a full bottle of crack and rum within the limit of that podcast.
Oh, well, no, fuck off. Well, no, within about an hour and a half.
Yeah, within about an hour and a half, he nailed it, and I couldn't fucking believe it.
He was sitting next to me, and I just kept watching him. I was thinking, fucking hell, mate, fair play. You are smashing the shit out of that.
He's going in.
And like, I was thinking, I'm all right here.
Yeah.
Hey, like, I had to start speeding up.
That must have been an interesting
turn
of roles, because you're often the one that gets the most drunk. And, yeah.
He got carried up the stairs, didn't he, to get out of there?
Yeah. Yeah, Brett had to help him up the stairs. And then we packed everything away, tied it up, and when we left, he was just leaning against a wall outside. And we're like, we've been down there for 15 minutes. Why are you still standing out the front there?
But it was so much fun.
Remember, he asked me, like, I think it was after the second episode, we were, you know, just walking, you know, having a bleak and whatever. And he said to me, how drunk are you feeling, Chris? As he said that, he fell into the wall and put his foot on a bin and opened the bin. I was like, not that drunk, mate. But I actually did start up in the tempo, because he was like...
To keep up.
I've got to dot my hat to him for being up for it.
Oh, mate, he was gold.
And Brett as well.
Both of them are going
to... It was spectacular.
Come on your podcast.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, right,
yeah,
both said they're up for it.
Yeah, exactly,
Me and Brett were discussing this only last night, and he's currently thinking of going for top five erections he's got from text messages.
you know, we've got to hold him to that. That's fucking brilliant. Has he get them texts?
But yeah, so that's our last drunk cast. So it's weird, because normally on the drunk cast, we discuss the previous one, and it's discussing the amount of shame that Chris has left over from the previous one. But Ramesh took that role, so you got to be
pretty much
intelligent, Chris.
Let's not push it out.
He had some anxiety in the morning, didn't he?
Yep.
There was text coming in, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was messages coming and going, what happened last night? One of the funniest moments that I've had so many messages about was on about the third episode, when Ramesh casually says, good luck editing this, mate. And then we go, oh, we don't edit them. And him just going absolutely batshit crazy.
I've definitely heard the word career suicide.
Fuck
off. I have no respect for you. He's brilliant.
Shut up, man. Shut up, Chris. We're talking about Transformers 2 or something.
Yeah. Speaking of shame and controversy, we need to readdress Crispgate.
Okay.
Because Crispgate happened in the first one or the second one. There you go. The issue was, what we're led to believe is it was Stewie into the mic. Everyone thought it was Chris.
That's correct.
He got furious.
Entirely accurate.
I now think that it may have been Chris all along.
It's definitely not.
Simply because
we discussed this behind Chris's back on Saturday.
There was a tweet today about Chris being eaten in my episode of...
Pass me a beer,
of what's your podcast called? Hardcore Listening.
That's the one. In
my episode on that, there was a discussion of Chris being eaten, and Chris said, it was Pip this time.
Yeah.
Which... I don't like crisps, and I've not eaten crisps in about 10 years. I'm a chocolate guy. So the fact that Chris adamantly blamed it on me, having previously blamed it on you, makes me think it was Chris all along.
This is terrible deduction.
Listen,
if you go back and listen...
You said confidently on that tweet, was Pip this time.
You've put too much
weight on that. You might have even said I was looking over at him.
I don't
eat crisps, mate. You'll see, I've got two different kinds of chocolate cakes
I
here.
Have a crack.
Consciously
I have...
choosing chocolate cakes because that doesn't make noise. And the chocolates I chose to buy, I picked up crispy M&Ms. I put them down, swapped them for Mars Counters because they are silent to eat because they're just chocolate. No crispy shell.
Listen.
Just chocolate.
All right.
So
I know it weren't me.
Whoever smelt it dealt with it.
And no, the easiest way to prove this is during both of these offences.
Yeah.
You know it's not me because I'm talking and someone else is crunching.
Bullshit.
I listen into it.
You can't talk with crisps in your mouth. Is that impossible?
I'm polite.
Not only do you do that, you're rude. You talk with your mouth full as well.
This is backfiring.
Sorry, guys.
But yeah, I just wanted to readdress that because I've previously stuck up for Chris and said that it was Stu.
It might have been Stu. I thought it was you who was reaching into a bowl.
No,
but I'm talking while someone... I'm talking, someone's crunching. That's how it goes. Because when you talk and eat a crisp, it sounds like this is podcast gold, isn't it? This is how I'm talking and eating a crisp. Like, You're a pair of cunts.
Chris.
Right?
You're always doing that, mate. Anyway, I'm going to give a quick run through my list of things that we're going to discuss today. We're going to discuss our recent club night. Lizards. I've been making notes since the last one.
So have I.
One of the notes I've got is The Revenant / Menomina. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that's in reference to. Stu DJing in Dartford. We'll get around to that story.
We've done that one, didn't we? No, we left it last time.
Because we were going to do it on the celebrity one and we didn't. We're going to talk some UFC. I want to talk about how all male divisions are on flux at the moment. I did a post about this the other day, and it wasn't until I sent a message I realised it. But yeah, we'll get to that. Mock Chris for being the Katie Price of the podcast world. Yeah, already done that.
Done that, check.
Seats on a plane shouldn't go back. I want to rant about that because I don't think they should. We can discuss it. Ungrateful for good deeds. Have you ever had a good deed that you're ungrateful? This sounds like I'm doing a daytime radio show now, doesn't it?
I'll tell you about when I pulled that woman out of that car yesterday and never got a letter back.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, this is Stu listed
off two other occasions. He's put in brackets, saved someone's life.
Top five lives Stu saved. Yeah, just more that when you've been ungrateful for a good deed, because I've got a story on that. I've got a note, and this is something from Chris from the last one. Playing Ghostbusters in a casino in Vegas, phone call to Ben and a wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that story is.
That's about Craig, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we could do that. That's Craig.
That's Craig. Was that Craig? Yeah, God, Craig, dear. You almost blew that already, Chris. Chris / Craig. Yep, yeah, no, I know what that is. Cheating. A whole bit on monogamy, basically. Okay. I've got a few things I want to discuss on that.
Oh, interesting.
Stuff that makes you feel like a grown-up.
Oops.
Other people's pubes.
Okay. I want to do a whole... I've had this one for ages and I've been making notes on it. Stuff that Chris has missed. Because Chris is one of the most switched on people I know, but there'll be certain things that just completely go... Just miss his radar completely. So we'll get into that.
Club nights.
Club nights. I've got that?
I'm on a mountain. I'm snowboarding.
I've got a little dream section.
Oh.
You and me, Chris, did the VR experience the other day that we could talk about.
Cool.
Yep. And then I've got a load of films I've seen and a few TV shows. So that's what's on my list. What would you like to start with?
Have you got any other things you want to add to that, by the way? I've got... All I'm going to say is Sticky Vicky.
Sticky Vicky. I will get to that. I'm going to show Chris just one bit on my notes there. That we'll get to that.
This is going to be at my expense, isn't it?
Somewhat. So
we had a conversation yesterday. Sorry, I want to get this in. I want to discuss board games at some point.
Yep.
Okay. Because whilst driving to London,
while someone kindly chauffeured him to London,
board games come up, and he went, "Yeah, I could beat you at every game."
Oh wow, confident.
We narrowed that down to one game. But we'll discuss board games later.
Yeah, okay. We'll get on to that. So where should we begin? Lizards is always a good place to begin, the club night?
Yeah, that was a good one, wasn't it? Well,
so we had the club night at the weekend, yeah. We had...
You played a great set, Pip.
I played a great set. You smashed it, mate.
Thanks, mate, thanks.
You had Amy Ballman, whose daughter is the voice at the end of the Distraction Pieces podcast, and Amy plays the xylophone thing at the end there.
Yep.
You had her and her sister Sarah and others up dancing nice and early.
Yeah, you did. You had fans for once. Yeah. You knew them.
I thought everyone played an absolutely fantastic set.
Bill smashed it. Destruction smashed it. And then I finished my set. It went really well. It was nice and busy, wasn't it? We were concerned that it was going to be a rough one. Yeah. And then Eddie Temple Morris went on, who he really deserves... as some kind of badge or medal from us, because I think he's the guy that's most consistently smashed it at our club night. Just every time, he's a beast, isn't he?
That's why, knowing that I was going after him, I really, really made sure I was fucking ready to follow him. Because there's a lot of the DJs that we have for us.
Did you prep your set for this then?
Oh, I was definitely ready to go.
Because you don't strike me as someone that ever kind of preps stuff like that.
No. I used to, but then as a DJ, after a while, you play to the crowd, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But there are occasions when you feel like, oh, fucking hell, that DJ's, you know, he knows his shit. And just like what you're saying there with Eddie, like the first time was that hallowed night at the Sunrooms when Eddie was there, one of our first ones, sort of. Yeah. And that was amazing, memorable.
Yeah.
So you've got to be on your game when you follow Eddie or someone like Destruction. So I had practiced.
Fucking hell. So not when you follow me. But when you follow any of the other DJs on the night other than me or Stu, you really have to be on top of your game.
Yeah.
So Eddie's 15 minutes into his set, and that's when we found out that we weren't closing at 4, we were closing at 3. So Eddie was the last set and Chris wasn't DJing at all.
You just set up all your
I'd set up all my shit. I'd even checked it as well.
I could see you queuing up, hey, what's wrong with you?
That's a spell. Oh man, that kills me. I've never fucking played that song in my life.
God, do you know what? As much as the club night was fun, I hadn't laughed that much as I did on the journey up there. There was obviously like a lot of traffic, and I had a proper crack on the way up there. It was, I got in the next morning, and Mrs. was like, how was the night? I was like, yeah, really good, yeah. Drive up there was a proper laugh.
It was amazing,
drive up
mate.
There and the drive back,
yeah.
Because we were just drunk and repeating the same things.
I was kind of worried that I wouldn't have a voice for our podcast this week because of how much we'd been, you know, talking.
And you drove, you were sober, wasn't you?
Yeah, I was sober, but genuinely, there was a point on the drive back, which we'll probably come on to, where it was, obviously the roads are dead, it's like 3, 4am in the morning, and I was going about 30, because there was literally tears flooding out of my eyes, and I literally couldn't go any faster or screw the crash.
As tempting as it is
I can't remember a lot of the journey home.
I know what that was, but I want us to get onto that when we're all a bit more drunk. Because honestly, I'm the same. I was a bit drunk then, but that was the most I've laughed in so long. And we were just in tears.
If any cop would have seen a bloody Mondeo covered in mud because he's been on a farm going about fucking 30 miles an hour with 4 or 5 dudes in it crying their
tears of laughter. But we'll get onto that when we're a bit more drunk, because it was just something that Stu said that, I mean, I repeated it at least 30 times, and you did at least 20. And it was just funnier and funnier every time. But
we'll come back to that, though.
It was just a shame, though, that genuinely a shame that you didn't get to do your DJ set.
Yeah, you two look well gutted about it.
Do you know what?
We were proper moaning outside. I was pissed off.
He was angry, and he was like, "You're going to tell Chris." And I was quite happy to tell you.
Yeah,
you know, I bet you couldn't wait.
I really wasn't happy about it.
He told me in French to start with. The reason why we say that is because she's got this thing of dressing like a Frenchman, especially when we play at Lizards.
A Frenchman or a sailor.
And then to emphasise it, he always drinks red wine as well, don't you? It's amazing.
And it's just that becomes a constant dig throughout the evening to the extent that Stu realises he started his set and left his keys at home, so he didn't have his memory stick, which has a lot of his music on. So his first few songs on his CDs were a bit flustered, and he was a bit panicked, and I just said to him, you look a bit lost at sea there, and he was just like, and then I just turned over going, that's a joke about your shirt. Which he hadn't got in the moment.
There's nothing better than when the cars are stacked against you and your mates are all there just adding to it.
Yeah, just digging you out, upping up that anxiety.
Speaking of bad mates,
brilliant.
The next one I want to talk about is ungrateful for good deeds.
Okay.
And it's because I've been ungrateful for a good deed recently, a good deed that Chris did for me. I've not told him at the time I was ungrateful for it.
Can't even remember. I don't even know.
What is it? Well, honestly, it stuck with me for a day or two with slight annoyance and chagrin.
Big words.
Chagrin.
What's that mean?
It's like anger, bubbling anger. As you know, I do a lot of explosive exercise, a lot of high impact.
You fucking prick.
High impact explosion.
Why couldn't you just said exercise?
Because it's a callback to the last drunk cast. As I said, it was high impact and explosive.
He said about how high impact and explosive he was.
It's mocking myself. Jesus. So because of that, so I've kind of, in fact, I was telling Chris, I've got my healthy food day in the week, and then the weekend day what I want. But if I want a treat, I'll have a treat, and so on and so forth. But it's a conscious choice. So me and Chris went to see Kong.
Skull Island. I had a feeling that he wasn't happy about it.
And we went in and we were in a bit of a rush, and I saw that it was Baskin and Robbins ice cream rather than the Ben and Jerry's. So I thought, I'm not going to have ice cream because I don't like it that much, so I'm not going to go unhealthy for something I'm not going to enjoy that much. So we go in and we sit down, and we were watching it in 4D, which we should talk about.
Yeah.
A few minutes in, Chris goes, I'm going to go and get some nachos. Do you want anything?
And I just had like a foot long hot dog.
And I said, no, I'm good, mate. And then he goes out, and it turns out he wasn't pleased with the nacho quality.
It's the they keep on doing these nachos with like a spice in the sauce, which it should be cheap, melty cheese sauce.
Yeah.
As everyone knows.
A rules is rules. So he comes back and goes, I didn't get the nachos, I got myself some ice cream, so I got you a tub.
I know.
The problem was, number one, I was sitting there all proud of myself for choosing to not have ice cream and to remain healthy. And number two, it didn't even get flavours I like. So I've been unhealthy with flavours I'm not even into. So it's like a wasted unhealthiness.
I don't have the best memory. I really try to remember.
I just like chocolate flavoured ice cream. He got me mint chocolate chip. That's not chocolate flavoured.
Isn't that what you want? Because I genuinely thought what I'd ordered you, that's the chocolate chip and the mint chocolate.
It's a good flavour. He got two scoops.
Why are you fucking moaning?
Whoa. Hold up.
No. I got him mint chocolate chip and I got him what I thought was the other one he ordered the other day. I tried to get it right.
It was like cake flavoured or some shit. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, that's what I thought he ordered.
But what if it was mint chocolate chip with like chocolate, then that'd be good, that'd work. I'd be like, well, I didn't want ice cream, but it's here and it's a treat. Instead, I ate it begrudgingly, didn't enjoy it, and was thinking the whole time of how much more explosive I'm going to have to be tomorrow in my exercises. And it made me think, of times, because it was a lovely thing for Chris to do. Yeah, Chris was out there. It just, I'll give him a little treat.
Yeah.
And I was miserable about it.
Because you do plan. Like, we're very different people in the sense of, I don't plan for shit.
Yeah.
And, I like randomness, as we know. And you are methodical.
Yeah,
right?
I'm very methodical.
So, it's kind of a crazy mix. We keep each other on our toes. But I literally, when I went out there, I was like, I really tried to remember, and obviously I've got shit memory. So I genuinely thought that was what he ordered. But there was another thing that I forgot. And that is, this is how methodical he is. Can you explain to people sometimes how you...
Right, okay, hang on. This is just so...
Brilliant.
I get ice cream from the cinema. If it's Ben and Jerry's, right? The three flavours, I go for three scoops, Stu, because that's the maximum.
Yeah.
I go for chocolate fudge brownie, I go for peanut butter cup, and I go for clever cookies or cookie dough switch up, you know, whatever the current cookie option is.
And I thought I'd got him.
I go for that every time, right? But when I'm ordering it, I pretend I'm making up my mind on the spot.
But look,
because I like it to go in a specific order. And if I just tell them the three, they just go, scoop, put that scoop in, then a scoop of that, then a scoop. And that's
why is he doing that in Chris's accent? That's not...
I go to the cinema, Chris works at. So I'll go in and I'll have three scoops. And, what scoops do you want? Oh, come and have a look. And I go, I'll have chocolate fudge brownie. Definitely chocolate fudge brownie.
Do you wait until they've put it in before you say that?
Yeah. I'll wait until they put the first scoop in, then I go...
It's how much thought's gone into it.
Then I'll go for... peanut butter cup. And then they start scooping that, and I'm like, and I think... And now, innocently, they'll throw in recommendations.
Yeah.
Like, this was decided many years ago, young man. You don't
realise what you've walked into here. Yeah. This guy's had this whole act planned for
days. Also, they can't put the straw in my drink for me, because that fucks up my plan. My straws, I get two, in case one's broken. Because you know when you unravel it and it's got a little air gap and you can't suck it properly.
We've all been there, mate.
I pop two straws in my top pocket, and then my drink, I can pop my ice cream on top of my drink, and then my other hand is free to hold my hot dog and my ticket. So I can hold all three at once, and there's no issues. But if someone tries to fuck with my plans, then...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
painful. I quite like the approach to the ice cream. That's quite well thought out.
Yeah, no, just a pause. Because again, it's weird if I'm like, I would like these three flavours. Can you put them in this order, please?
Yeah, exactly.
I look like a fucking psychopath. Exactly. Whereas if I'm, what do I want?
You are a psychopath, but they don't know.
Yeah, but you
want to
hide
to know that.
That's
not necessary information.
I love the two Shaw things. So here's a little invention I came up with, which after fucking years, I was vindicated when he was in LA. So for years, obviously, big love to go to the cinema and always eat a lot of food while we're there. That's not me, Stu. Just picked up a bag of crisps.
Guilty, Your Honour.
Oh, fucking hell, Chris. whenever I go to the cinema, Pip suffers from this because he does like a lot of treats at the cinema, right?
I like to go all out of the cinema.
You do.
There's only one or two times I've gone to the cinema and decided to keep, like, if I'm having a healthy period, to go, I'll stick to that. It's like, if you're at the cinema, you've got to do it properly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
If I want to be healthy, sometimes I won't go to this. Like, there'll be a film I want to see, and I'll be like, I'm not going to go until the weekend because then I could eat bad or whatever. That's boring.
That's fair dues, right? But the problem is when you have a lot, right? You've got your big drink, you've got, say, nachos, you've got hot dog or an ice cream, your hands are covered up. So when they go, can I have your tickets, please? You're fucked. You're in bandit territory. I've seen loads of people over the years dropping their bloody popcorn over the shop. So years ago, I invented sticky tickets. And basically what this is when
just to clarify, by invented, he means thought of.
Thought of, because that's as far as I ever get.
It didn't go any further. Continue.
It's as far as I ever get with any idea.
Go on.
I actually even I went as far as drawing up the pattern and sending it to a company, and they were like, oh, this is quite good. And then even then got distracted with something else. Like, that is how bad I am with, you know. So basically, I come up with sticky tickets. So you go there, they print off your ticket, and then they, you know, if your hands are full, they just stick it on the side of your cup.
Thanks
whatever.
For explaining that.
You looked vacant.
And, it's just his face.
That's what I've got. It's just his potato head. And basically, you go up to the dude or the woman, and they just cross it off. Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. You're in the cinema, and you've got all your drinks and all your treats.
You're sorted.
Not a drop was spilt.
Hands free. And then when I'm in LA, I've just come out.
Hold on. Pip has been telling me that's bollocks for years, haven't you?
Or purely because you've just heard my system. I don't need it.
But if
you're a cleaner at the cinema, you're going to be picking up tickets that are stuck to everything constantly. That might be fun.
Why don't you shut the fuck up?
Yeah, but you're going to be picking up stuff anyway in a cinema, aren't you?
It's a messy environment. You know, and in many ways, it'll be stuck to the side of the cup, mate.
Maybe.
But I'm someone, as we know, who spends a lot of time on his own. And I don't feel a lot of need to communicate outside of essential communication often.
You don't come across very well,
so. No, not really. So I've just had, in LA, I was out there for a week, I was having a load of meetings. I just had the best meeting I've had, like an insanely exciting one. I've not messaged anyone, I'm just sitting there excited. I go and have a burger. But I'm at that high level of excitement. And what made me send an actual message to someone was I ordered a burger from Shake Shack, and they stuck a sticky ticket on my thing as the receipt. And I took a photo. In fact, I did a video, didn't I?
Yeah.
Sent it to Chris immediately.
Do you know what?
Because that's big news. That's relative.
I think outside of cinema, airport, Mexico, ticket, burgers.
Try sentences.
Is this a game?
Works better. In podcasts in general, it works better.
Ordered some food for the wife and children.
Mm-hmm. Did you save anyone's life for this?
Ordered food, wife, children.
Well, I'd done it. I'd saved the life 2 days prior to this.
Right, okay.
Yeah, of course, as we discussed.
Had a tray as I picked the food up. Ordered, because my kids' nuggets weren't nuggets. Like, it's not that interesting a story. But anyway, I had to make a secondary order. Bang, stuck it.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sticky tickets, mate.
Sticky tickets.
Yeah.
TM... Christopher Glasson.
Apparently, the people who invented that were a small painting office in the UK who heard about it a few years ago. It went quiet. They're now millionaires. Went through the roof. What else shall we squeeze in this half? Shall we get... right, I'll let you guys choose. We're going to fit one more in because we've got 10 minutes, which might be too short or too... We could maybe fit two in. Stuff that makes you feel grown up or stuff Chris has missed?
I want to hear stuff that makes you feel grown up.
Great, because I had this recently, and I've realised it's one of all of us kind of live lives where we've dodged being a grown up too much. Mm. Obviously, mm. I know you've got kids, but still.
She's got two kids. He's fostered children. No, but, he's no, a proper grown up.
But still, you've worked in clubs and stuff like that and kind of all often had jobs that avoid you feeling too much of a grown up. I've got a mortgage, I've got all sorts of stuff, but still, I've avoided feeling like a grown up. And this topic came to mind when I got to LA because renting a car and driving in another country.
Yep.
Makes me feel like a proper grown-up, particularly on my own. I've got a car, I'm driving on a different side of the road, it's just happening, it's done. So that was the one that triggered it for me. I was wondering if you guys have got anything that comes to mind that makes you feel grown-up. I know I had another one where me and Tom Coles, who came up to Edinburgh Fringe with me, and we filmed my Fringe show, available now at speechofanimalrecords.com, £5 download. And we were driving back, and he was like, oh, my brake pad's low, I'm gonna have to go to the garage tomorrow and have them changed. And I was like, just going to Halfords, I'll change them for you. And changing brake pads made me feel incredibly grown up, because it's not just a tyre, it's brake pads. And we sat in the car park at Halfords at Lakeside and changed his brake pads, and it felt like the first time he's respected me in our relationship thus far. He gave a look of respect that I've never.
My daughter's at the door with three fresh cakes for us.
That makes me feel grown up.
That's quite grown up, isn't it?
Bring the cakes in.
Oh, these look amazing.
Three cupcakes.
Thank you, girls.
We will give you a review on the.
Oh, they're dusted and everything.
They are dusted. Thank you.
Good work. Thank you.
Yeah, my youngest is likes baking a cake.
That looks great. So they're little Victoria sponges.
They're little Victoria sponges. Yeah, with homemade jam that the missus made today as well.
Look at this. You're like the Swiss.
I'm a grown up.
Robinson. Yeah. Does that
feel like a grown up?
What makes you feel grown up? When my fairly grown up daughters bring cakes to my shed at the back of the garden. Yeah. That's got to make you feel grown up.
Shit. Have you got any others, Stu?
Yeah. Every time I start up my petrol lawnmower.
So grown up.
I pull a cord and it starts a motor, and I imagine, can you remember the advert for the Play-Doh mopped up hair shop where they push the thing and the hair come out? I just imagine that's my pubes. The minute I pull that, I just get a lot more pubes. I become more of a bloke.
You feel them grow out a little bit. That's brilliant.
So manly. Do you go to the petrol station with a little jerry can to fill up, to fill your...
Yep.
Just getting it to fill my lawnmower. Oh, there it is. There's your jerry can.
Mate.
That's pretty grown up. I think the question now more is, Chris, have you ever felt grown up?
have you ever felt a grown up?
I always looked about, didn't I? I always looked awkwardly young, didn't I?
Even as
18, 19.
Not so much now, Jesus.
No.
It was Brett that said he was surprised when he met you because you come across on the podcast as so young. He didn't expect you to be as grown up as you are.
Yeah, haggard.
I didn't want to say anything offensive. He's a very hard life.
Things that made me feel like a grown up. Interestingly, this will make you guys laugh. My nephew, when he calls me up for advice, on especially dating and stuff like that, and I find him giving advice, and he's like, "Oh, that's really good, Chris," because he's always going to do the opposite.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, don't do that. He's not always going to, but he does say or do silly things, or I'll read his messages because he's like, was that fine? Did I say, was that cool? I was totally cool here. And I'm like, not really. And I wonder if he thinks that's, well, I've told him, it's not because I didn't do any of it. I'm telling you this. I'm trying to tell you all the dumb shit I did so you don't...
Learn from my mistakes rather than make your own.
Mistakes, yeah, yeah.
That must have been a long conversation.
So that does, yeah. And I can make my own tea now as well.
Oh, look at you, like a grown up.
Yeah, I can make my own tea. Yeah,
very grown.
Generally, when I'm at the Pink Toothbrush, the club I work at, every Friday, I have to ID people that look young,
right?
And it freaks me out when they give me ID. And it's got numbers like 95.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you're completely right.
And they're old enough to get in.
Yeah.
When I date girls, they're old enough to get in.
Like
that's crazy.
Yeah. And I look at things like that, and I just think that ain't that long ago.
No.
Like the '90s. What was that? 5 years ago. And it's only when like you actually work it out, you just think, fucking hell. And when I look at the ID, and I think I'd been working here like however many years at that point. That's quite strange. And another good one I get is young girls will come, and young guys, unfortunately, will come up to me and they're like, "Are you Stu?" And I'm like, "Yes, I am." Yep. And I just
think, put your feet up on the table
and like, yeah, and
your cowboy boots,
and they go, "Oh yeah, you went to school with my mum."
Yeah.
And like, and I get that a lot, and that makes me feel like a proper grown. No, it just makes me feel fucking old.
Yeah. Like, well, that's a nice one, because when you just asked me what makes you feel like a grown up, the first thing I was going to say is what makes you feel old, which is different, isn't it? Because grown up is you feel like in control and a position of responsibility. Yeah. You make you feel old. The first one did flash into my head was I went to base jump the other day, which is that trampoline world where there's like, I don't know, 50 trampolines all along the floor.
Yeah. Is that the one in Rayleigh?
Rayleigh. I was jumping. It was cool. Don't get me wrong.
I got invited to the celebrity launch of that. It was going to be me, Joey Essex, and three other people I hadn't heard of, and I decided to pass on it in case they were better at trampolining than me. Anyway, go on.
You're not a good trampoliner. You just look at you and know. Yeah, and I was on it for 3 minutes, and I could feel my lower back injury that I acquired when I was only about 16. I could feel the one in the middle, in between my shoulder blades, that was going off. And no more than 4 minutes bouncing, and I was like, this is A, painful, and I am fucked as well. And the next day, I was just in bits.
I find the use of the word old school is quite weird.
Yeah.
Because to me, if I think old school, I think old school hip-hop, which to me is
you
Flash,
think, you think,
Bambaataa.
You think like the invention of the wheel, starting fires.
But that is what I when I hear old school, I think old school hip hop, and I think of that era. But I will chat with the clubbers and stuff, and they'll go, "Yeah, you know, like Arctic Monkeys, Kooks, you know, all the old school stuff." And I just think,
right,
that's crazy.
Yeah. And I just think, is that old? But
how old am I?
Yeah, that's quite weird.
Also, when you see like people go through school like in 5 years, and 5 years ago it doesn't feel like nothing to me now. Like years blitz past.
Wait till you have kids and they're at school, and then you see just how quick it goes. That's really fucking strange.
Yeah, that's petrifying,
scary shit.
We're all just quite old, aren't we?
Yeah. Anyway, enjoy the fun drunk cast.
What shall we squeeze in before we end? Let's have one more thing. Have you guys got anything you want to...
Things that had passed... What was it?
Stuff that Christmas is.
Brilliant. Tell me you was wise to that, because that's fucking brilliant.
Part and part.
So, it's just... It's really weird, because I swear... I don't know if it's because I spend a lot more time on social media, maybe, or something, but there's certain things in culture that Chris just... completely misses. And he's one of the most up-to-date people on films or music or all sorts of stuff. And then there'll be other stuff. And the first time it came to mind was the first time I was talking to you about CrossFit. And you had just a black look on your face.
I had no idea.
You were like, what? And this was like a year ago. And CrossFit's been big for a long while, hasn't it? It's been.
Did you know Sam at that point?
It's about... Well, Sam had...
When Sam was about to start doing his job. That's probably why we were talking about it.
Yeah, around that time. And I was like... What is this crossing of the fitness?
And you've never heard of it.
And he was like, you know, let me tell you about it. I didn't know.
So that was one. And then there was another one. Most of them involved Sam for some reason. Where me, you, and Sam were at the Bama, I think it was. Was it the Bama or Bellator?
Bama.
It was Bama up in the Midlands. Yeah. And I'll take it on me. I was saying, that ring girl's rather attractive, because it wasn't in a crass way. It was her. And Chris's response was, she's got a bit of a fat bum, and seemed completely unaware that big bums are like the biggest thing in, like, girls have implants to have bigger bums at the moment. And it seemed to be that you were like,
I probably was just trolling there. Oh no, I've known that's been a big thing for a while. Yeah. But next misogynistic comment.
No, that was both, you know, that was just admiring. Again, I can highlight that at that same event.
Yeah.
We were comparing the physiques of two of the male fighters. And this was great, because there was one guy, I was like, it's mad that guy looks like put together. He looks ripped as anything. And I'm always, people who follow me on Instagram will sometimes say, oh, I've seen you liking half-naked girls on Instagram. I was like, you've seen me liking half-naked men on Instagram as well, because there's a lot of models I follow that I just, I like the human aesthetic. Anyway, this isn't about me. But it was a, but the other guy was against was just untoned, undefined.
Yeah.
He knocked the guy out in moments. Yeah. And it was weird that we'd had that discussion, because then he put on his gym's T-shirt and his gym slogan was, are you trained to look good? Are we trained to beat you?
Yeah.
And it was just perfect. Really, it was man, we'd been saying how one looks amazing and one doesn't. And so again, it's not all sexist stuff.
No.
But the other one was you turning around to me. I can't remember who we were with and saying, because you were getting a text off of a girl or a message from a girl, and you just went, guys, what's dabbing?
Oh, yeah.
And again, it was like, at that point, footballers were doing it. Oh, it was the biggest thing. And someone was saying to you, oh, we've been dabbing all night, or something like that. And you were dabbing. Like, guys, what's dabbing? And again, it was like, it's bizarre, because it's like the biggest thing. Do you not know?
No.
Your daughters will know.
Oh, yes.
No.
What are you dabbing? It's just a thing that you do with your hands.
I'll dab quickly.
Oh, is that it? No. No. Do you know what? I've seen my kids talk about that.
Yeah.
Now I feel like
It was just another one that I was
the person who that's, I'm going to get found out now, because the person who sent me that, I mean, I didn't act like I knew any. I think I probably even said to him,
I told you, and then you were like, alright, here we go.
But yeah, they listen to that occasionally, and that was someone I met at the Lizards. A couple of months ago, it
tickled me that there's just certain things
this is a big thing he's missed, which over the last few weeks, we've spent a lot of time in each other's company, because we've been doing a lot of recording the podcast. And each time
he comes in my front flirtation. Door, all right,
he totally ignores the fact I'm wearing a suit, that I've got flowers, and like, but I've had a male dog for 7 years. And Chris has met my dog, and out of all of us, he pays more attention to my dog than any of us. When my dog
comes in here,
I love Zavi.
Yeah, I know you do. And he generally likes.
Do you love him?
A little bit. Right. Well,
do you love him? Because every time you come through my fucking front door, you're like, here she is. What's her name? And I will go to you every day. It's a fucking boy.
You don't even. You're not even that calm when you say it.
Yesterday, I got angry.
Yeah, he hadn't had much sleep, mate. He was fucking right ratty. It's a he! It's a he!
You almost said it's a she!
I did.
It's a sh. A he!
Listen, the brain works in a way that once it's recalled information, it can be difficult to get out of the habit of recalling it.
Yeah, muscle memory.
If you don't care enough about it, and I don't care enough about it wrong. Worrying about getting it right or wrong, because the sentiment is, I love your dog. I'm always paying your dog loads of attention. It generally comes from a good place. I just forget. I guess the first time I thought Zavi was a girl, because
it's a girly looking dog, isn't it? It's a very pretty dog.
And, so I accidentally sometimes say, all the time say she. But the problem is now that I know that it's going to set you off, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Because I'm very good, as we all know, at playing
dumb. He's very good at pretending he said something wrong to wind you up.
He's very good at saying it, realising it
just after he said it, and then going, hey.
I can post-rationalise. I'm quite good at post-rationalising too.
I like when he said, so what was the stuff, Chris's what? No, that was intentional. That was
no, that was half and half. That was mostly half and half.
Well, let's wrap things up on this one. Before we do, the last guest, I'm not sure when I'm putting these out, it'll probably be next week, but the last guest I had was James Buckley, who I met through you, Stu. So he's a good lad, isn't he? We slag you off a little bit on the podcast in a friendly manner.
I'd expect nothing less.
He's good though, isn't he? He's a good lad. We got on. It was really nice because that was the first time we'd met. But because we've had group messages and all sorts of things like that, we just we felt like old friends.
Yeah, he's
because you used to take him about on DJ.
Spent more time with him over a period of about 3 years than I did probably my family, because we was stuck in a car driving up and down the country or going to Ireland and God knows where else, with him DJing. And it was really interesting, because we started hanging out just when the first series of In Between has come out, and not everyone had cottoned onto it then. And it was,
how did you meet him or know him?
I met him through Mark Watts.
From Mark Watts, who I'm campaigning furiously for you guys to have on top Hardcore Listing. Yeah. Just top five Bart Watts stories.
That's not a difficult
He's
one.
A legend. He'll be the Joey Diaz of our little podcasting world.
And within top five Mark Watts stories, I reckon at least three will involve Buckley.
Yeah.
At Buckley's expense.
Yeah, of course they will.
But, it's... James was in a band.
Yeah.
And he rehearsed at Mark's studio.
Oh, really?
Just up the road.
The White Rooms.
His band was called London Waiting. And, yeah, he said to me, oh, yeah, that fella from that programme In Between Us, he's down my place. I said, oh, does he want a DJ? I said, like, because I knew he was into his indie stuff. I said, like, he can, you know, does he want to come and DJ the Toothbrush? And he did. And he said, yeah, I'll come and DJ the Toothbrush. And he came up the Toothbrush. And I've got to be honest, it was the most craziest reception I've ever seen at the Toothbrush for anyone. And apart from you.
Cheers, mate. And fucking hell, I've DJed there twice.
But it was fucking mental. Yeah. Like, if Prince would have come out, the response wouldn't have been any fucking different.
Oh, we kind of discussed that weirdness on the podcast, the fact that he's quite a quiet and reserved guy.
He's super quiet.
But his character is so out there that clubs is a tough one for him because he's going to have people.
Does he talk about that? Because I've not listened to it yet.
Yeah. It's not out yet. It's just come out today as we talk now. Yeah, that's fine.
Because that was one of the really weird things. It was because of what his character was in In Between Us.
Yeah.
As soon as we was obviously doing predominantly student unions and stuff like that, and we was getting to these venues, and literally everyone was like, "Whoa, Buzz Wanger, fucking Jay Clunge," and James, being James, is just like, "All right, how you doing?" Just being normal.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really interesting to see it because when I started doing it, it just come out, and then we worked together right the way up to pretty much the end of the In-Betweeners, and obviously we're still pals and stuff, but seeing how someone becomes very famous.
Yeah.
And obviously just being next to him for most of it and seeing how people deal with that and how fucking mental it can be was really interesting.
Yeah.
And it was quite a fascinating few years just sort of seeing you know, even if we stopped at the services to get a burger on the waiter somewhere, whilst you've got food in your mouth and you're sitting there, there's three or four people either sitting there staring at you, and then you've got other people that aren't quite as polite that would literally just come over and go, "Bruv, kiss a photo." And I'm like, I'd never intervene because it's not my place to, but situations like that, I'd always be, "Mate, he's just having his dinner.
He's just having an eat,
let him finish his dinner, man.
I'd find the balance in the right moment. It's been interesting, the podcast is only, as we're recording this, has only been out a matter of hours today, but the reception has been 50-50 of people saying how great it was to hear him, because I've not really heard him be him and talk and how nice he is and all that. And 50% of people either saying podcast friends or podcast wankers or podcast completed it, mate, because his computer channel is completed, mate. And again, it's that brilliant. It's seeing someone who's got those genuinely iconic lines in that way, but not in a Little Britain kind of catchphrasey type way. Just stuff his character said that was stupid that genuinely made its way into a lexicon.
Little Britain, it'd be every week the same line, wouldn't it?
He
dropped it once and that was it.
I love it. Right, well, we'll continue talking. We're gonna have a break now and then continue on, so the next one will be in a bit. I'm over explaining this.
Take care then.
So scary.
You've been listening to Scrooby's Pips Discretion Pieces.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.